Welcome to another episode of National Bugle on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the long and winding road of free speech, because that's probably the only Beatles song that you won't hear on Jim Fetzer's show. But you'll hear a lot of other Beatles songs. So go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button, send funded to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operators will be standing by. So today we've got with us Cato. Cato, welcome to the show.
Yes, good to be back. I am on vacation in the South Pacific island of Tahiti, relaxing on the beautiful beaches shore where the water is clear and there's sunshine and there's no snow, and I'm surrounded by beautiful women everywhere. Yeah, as if I could afford such a vacation. Nope, I'm stuck with most of you listeners here on this currently frozen tundra known as the North American continent. In fact, that's why I wasn't on last week, because I was dealing with this this winter here. So
There was a lot to deal with. Well, yeah. Okay, so
yeah, it was like then of course they say this every year, you know, record freezing temperatures, and I don't even, you know, keep up with it anymore. But yeah, I mean, this what is it, this Arctic blast or something? It froze over a lot of America for sure, most of America.
Well, if I mentioned Jim Fetzer's show, if we had Mike Rivero on, he would say, gosh darn this man-made climate change or man-made global warming. That's what he would say, gosh darn it. But we have Jim Fetzer, who probably would say that the global warming's, it's bullshit. I don't agree with either of them, but that's okay. They both have good shows. So anyway, but we are here. Last time you were on 2 weeks ago, we talked about what was the upcoming Taiwan elections, the election actually for the office of President of the Republic of China, which the Republic of China only governs Taiwan. How did that turn out?
Well, unfortunate, but no surprise. The DPP candidate won. 40% of the vote, which was the, you could say, a plurality. So, yep, William Lai will be the next so-called president of the Republic of China.
And so last time we did discuss the other two candidates, the candidate from the Kuomintang, also known as the Nationalist, also known as the KMT, so the Kuomintang candidate, and I can't remember his name. And then there's a candidate for the third party.
Ho Youyi was a Kuomintang candidate.
And how did he do? What was his percentage?
He actually didn't do too bad. He was like 30-some percent. Let me pull up the numbers again real quick, just to kind of, just so that way I get this right.
Let me see here. It sounds like it's likely, had that third party candidate not been running, that the Kuomintang candidate may well have.
It's very plausible, and I mean, yeah, I mean, it's all you know, it's all that third party guy's fault, Goins, which I wouldn't put it past if it was the DPP that, you know, set him up to split the KMT vote.
Hmm.
So. But yeah, here we go. DPP won 40%, exactly 40%. 40.05, which is exactly 40%. And then Kuomintang, KMT, won 33.49. And then the TPP, that third party guy, won 26%. So, and then, of course, you look at the map of Taiwan, the various voting districts. It looks like all the more, you could say, old school rural areas voted for Kuomintang, whereas where the cities are located, they voted for DPP.
Okay, so you got the big city up north, which is Taipei.
Yeah, Taipei and New Taipei.
And then New Taipei, which is, I guess, suburban areas around it. Then in the south, you've got Kaohsiung.
Yeah, Kaohsiung.
Kaohsiung.
And then in the middle, you got Tainan and Taichung.
I've been in Tainan and Taichung and Taipei. I've not been in Kaohsiung.
Yeah, I was there once when I was little. It's an okay city. Of course, they're all East Asian cities are better than anything we got here in America. So that's not saying much.
The East Asians are good at cities. They're good at doing cities, that's for sure. You got some really awesome cities. The Europeans used to be good at cities, and then they, and the Jews let in all of these random people from Africa.
Savages, yeah. And then American cities, well, even American cities once upon a time used to be good, but then, you know, you got all the black crime and all the third world immigrants in them. You know, like Chicago, for example.
So, yeah, and, you know, when you look at, so Chicago, these cities in the north, New York, Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, and Cleveland, these cities didn't have very many blacks until after World War One. There was a big migration after World War One. Now, of course, a lot of these cities didn't have that much history before World War One. Some did. You know, Philadelphia, New York, and Boston are pretty old. They were amongst the, well, they were, you could consider them cities when America became a republic in the 1780s. Places like Cleveland or Chicago were more recent, but Chicago was still, at the turn of the century, by 1920, Chicago was a very big city, and it would have been very, very cool. And you go to Chicago, and still, like, big parts of Chicago have a really cool vibe. You've got, you know, trains running around. You've got big buildings. Got a really cool vibe. But you never know when there's going to be some sort of flash mob.
Yeah, or like what happened a few months ago. There was, like, people were, you know, smashing, just going up the cars and smashing them while they were driving, and some guy was trying to get out of there and couldn't. Something like that. Of course, that happens pretty frequently there. But anyway, we got way off on a tangent there. That was my fault. Yeah.
But while we're still on the tangent, I just want to say that after the street takeovers of last summer in Chicago, the mayor of Chicago, the black mayor, came out and said, well, these kids, they need to be given better opportunities, right? Because how would you know better?
You're breaking up real badly, by the way.
Well, this sucks. Oh, well.
Yeah, that's just part of living in America, part of living in the, you could say the North American, well, primarily in America, you know, the internet connection and the cell signal is not necessarily the best compared to other countries, I'll put it that way.
And you still don't hear me well?
Okay, now it's good.
All right. Well, anyway, I'll just finish up because it seems like it's been bad luck to talk about it, but the mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, after the street takeover, said that these kids need to be given better opportunities, because how could you expect kids to know any better than to take over streets and jump on cars and smash windows if they haven't been provided with better opportunities? I mean, what else are you going to do? So there's that. I saw this one other thing in Washington, D.C., about 10 blocks north of the White House. There's a CVS drugstore. And they were featuring it on local news because, you know, once every couple of weeks, or it seems to be coordinated with when they get major deliveries of merchandise, you'll get dozens of black kids from the local high school, and they just all go into the store, descend on the store, steal everything off the shelves, and then leave, and then a day later, you've got illegal immigrant street merchants on the sidewalk about three blocks away selling the exact same stuff. But how can you prove that it's what the teenagers stole? And so they were interviewing people from the neighborhood, and one of the guys from the neighborhood, who seemed like a light-skinned black, said these kids need to be provided with better personal care products.
So they blacks always making excuse for their own.
White women, the white liberals were saying similar kinds of stuff. They need to be provided with better education, with better opportunities, with better personal care products.
Yeah, as the federal government hasn't already given them, you know, unlimited funds, basically.
And you know, this is just basic bitch stuff. But
anyway, let's get back to Taiwan, where the society is still, relatively speaking, more, you know, a lot more sane, because they don't have, you know, black crime or third world immigrants running all over that country, that island. Well, hopefully it stays that way. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Okay. So the big question is, what does this mean for the prospect of another war? Because we already got the stuff going on in Ukraine. We already got the stuff blowing up in the Middle East. And there are people. And I'm just passing I'm passing Bolton Road right now as we drive. Bolton. There are Boltons out there who would like to see a war with China. What do you think the new... What's the guy's name who's succeeding Tsai Ing-wen? What's his name?
William Lai.
William Lai. What's William Lai going to be like?
Well, probably more of the same. Probably just a continuation of Tsai Ing-wen. Really, I think it's just going to be a continuation of essentially U.S. foreign policy in the Far East through their proxy, the DPP. Now, you know, is the U.S. In any way, shape, or form fit to try to open up another front of war? No, not at all. But I mean, you know, as we know, the U.S. is run by a bunch of insane psycho, psychotic nut jobs. So it's, but see, here's the other thing too. I mean, this might already sound so cliche, but I mean, I do have reason to believe there was voter fraud also on that island during the elections. So in Taiwan, it's like this. They don't have, and this is a good thing for the most part. They don't have, absentee voting or, early voting. No, there's only one day voting, and you can only vote in the county where you're registered. So, Taiwan, they have, several different counties just like here, and you can only vote to the one that you're registered to. So you have to, let's say you're working in Taipei and you live somewhere rural, you have to go back to that, your rural hometown and vote there. But the thing is, there were, there's another island, which is also, owned by the Republic of China. It's called Jinmen, and it's right off the coast of the Chinese mainland. Well, the residents there tend to vote Kuomintang. Well, a lot of them were supposed to fly back to Jinmen to go vote. Somehow, all their flights got canceled on that, a few days before, all the way up to the election. All the flights to Jinmen got canceled. And there's actually footage of the people counting the votes. And by the way, over there, they only use paper votes. They don't have any of this electronic voting crap. It's all paper ballots. Well, there was actually footage of in November of 2020, when you had, them stuffing the ballot boxes and throwing away, ballots. And, there was footage of these vote counters. They were mixing up a lot of ballots to make sure that William Lai had more votes than Ho Yo-i. And some people were, they were filming it, and they told them, don't film, and they're trying to block them, basically. So there was that going on. I mean, it just sounds so cliche, but this is what it is in a liberal democracy. If the liberal candidate doesn't, if the populist candidate, is about to win, they'll rig it in favor of the liberal candidate.
It's interesting you say that they actually have to show up to vote. I was talking to somebody just yesterday who mentioned a Taiwanese friend who had flown back to Taiwan to vote. And I didn't prod. I didn't ask anything about it. I thought, wow, that's a long way to go to vote. I did ask, who did he vote for? He went back to Taiwan to vote for the Kuomintang candidate. But he actually, you couldn't do absentee voting from overseas. So he went back to vote.
Shows how much he cares about his people and his society. That's a good friend to have.
Yeah.
But they were making it difficult for a lot of rural residents to vote too. So, and Kinmen is considered a rural island, more rural. So, I mean, it goes to show, you know, that the current government, which is controlled by the DPP, you know, because they're the ones who appoint the people counting the ballots or the votes. And, there was evidence of fraud. And now it might not have been so obvious to, you know, I mean, even though it was with all the footage, but, you know, like in the United States in 2020, where, I mean, it was just so in your face. But here's the thing, though. I think he shouldn't have just, you know, accepted conceded defeat. He should have challenged it, I think, instead of just when the election was over, Hoyo-yi basically bowed and said, you know, I concede, you know, and I acknowledge that William Lai is the winner. He should have challenged it. So, I mean, yeah, the Kuomintang, I mean, they're basically like, you know, I mean, they're not as bad as the Republicans in America, but they're pretty much the Republican Party of America. You know, they're really bad at winning, but they're really good at losing.
So the big issue is Taiwan has just this very, very weird status. So it is a kind of a relic of the Cold War. In the days after World War II and the defeat of the Japanese Empire, the civil war in China flared back up again. The Kuomintang and the Communist Party went back to full-scale warfare against each other. The Kuomintang was being defeated on the mainland, and they were the internationally recognized government of China, the Republic of China, and they were being defeated, and they evacuated with their armies to Taiwan, which is, as a large island, it's relatively easy to defend. So they retreated, and the communists proclaimed a new republic, the People's Republic of China. They proclaimed that in 1949 on the mainland. Okay, sorry about that. I'm just going to pause for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they proclaimed the People's Republic of China on the mainland, and so you've had these two rival governments ever since. Well, it was fine when they were rival governments. Well, I won't say it was fine, but it was one thing when they were two rival governments, both committed to unifying Taiwan and the mainland under themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But as the years went by, you got a situation where the mainland, it recovered from the worst days of Maoism and communism, and it got too strong for the army in Taiwan and for the authorities in Taiwan to ever have any hope of a military conquest.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar's cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
The mainland, it recovered from the worst days of Maoism and communism, and it got too strong for the army in Taiwan and for the authorities in Taiwan to ever have any hope of a military conquest of the mainland, which is what they had been hoping for the first few decades. But that just became completely unrealistic. Mm-hmm. So you had this situation where Taiwan, being the authorities on Taiwan, being the Republic of China, it was never going to take over the mainland. It was never going to be the Republic. You do. You have some sort of gradual reunification. Do you have giving up on the idea of unification and have a separation? And of course, The authorities on the mainland, tolerated the Taiwan governing itself because the government in Taiwan was committed to eventual unification. So they tolerated this. So what happens when that commitment towards eventual reunification disappears? There's a toleration for Taiwanese separate authorities, does that disappear? That's been the big issue for the past few decades. And the meddlesome State Department and congressional leaders and politicians in America, these meddlesome people, have been encouraging a declaration of independence by Taiwan, which what would that lead to? Would that lead to a legally and formally and practically independent Taiwan, Republic of Taiwan, or would that lead to a major war? That's been the whole thing. So, and this has been in the back of everybody's mind. So the big issue is whether this newly elected president in his it's a 4-year term. Is there a prospect that he might declare independence?
Well, I mean, based on his earlier campaign messages, he said he was going to, you know, it wouldn't be so sudden. So abrupt. I mean, he's still a scumbag, but he's going to try to do it more, you know, subtly or gradually, you know, instead of, you know, making it so sudden. That's what his earlier campaign statements was. Now, that could have just been to get elected because, you know, he's nothing but a liar. That's his last name is Lie. I mean, that's what he is, a liar. But the thing is, I mean, the DPP is I mean, they're just a tool for you know, the American empire in East Asia. That's all they are. They're just, you could say, kind of a, what do you call a springboard, you know, to basically, you know, give the Chinese mainland a hard time. Now, mainland China, you know, the People's Republic of China has been very clear that, you know, we will not tolerate. This is our just kind of like how Ukraine joining NATO was a red line for Russia. Taiwan declaring independence is a big red line for, you know, mainland China. And basically the Chinese mainland said, yeah, if this, you know, if Taiwan continues to be aggressive, you know, Taiwan separatism, if that continues to be a, you know, a threat to our security and our sovereignty, then we will have to intervene, not at first and not militarily. But, you know, through like blockades and sanctions and all that. But if because mainland China, they want peaceful reunification. They don't want essentially a civil a Chinese civil war part two, basically. They don't want that. They want a peaceful reunification. So if China ever does fire upon that island, it's purely from defensive reason. It's because, you know, the United States started it. That's why.
So there's the very quick and sudden type of thing that can happen where you get a declaration of independence that then triggers a military conflict. That type of thing can happen. Short of that, then there are much more gradual processes that happen. Now, there are processes of integration and there are processes of separation. So processes of integration have been what once were extremely close business ties and trading ties. So you got during the 1990s in particular, to an extent under Li Tonghui, but you got very close trading ties, a lot of economic integration between Taiwan and the mainland. So you have things like that. On the other hand, there are processes of kind of separation because their politics have been separated. They're not being ruled by the same authorities. And so you can get like some political divergence. So you've got like divergence, but you've also got convergence. You get different things. One question I have is, say, culturally. So they both inherit thousands of years of Chinese culture, which is a big deal.
中华民族的儿女啊，谁愿像朱家一般任人宰割？我们要抱定必死的决心，保卫黄河，保卫华北，保卫全中国。You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Divergence, but you've also got convergence. You get different things. One question I have is, say, culturally, so they both inherit thousands of years of Chinese culture, which is a big deal. But they're also being subjected to, you know, international social forces, to international culture, to Hollywood movies.
Western liberalism, or should I say more accurately, Judeo-Western liberalism. But the Judeo part hasn't really shown its ugly face in East Asia yet.
You look at Taiwan, for instance, which is the only place in East Asia that has gay marriage. And that's not something from traditional Chinese values. That's something that is due to its, you know, it also has a certain amount of integration with the West. So my question is, we know there are some forces of convergence. There are some forces of divergence. Culturally, do you think that, like, culturally, there had been a big divergence between Maoist mainland China and Kuomintang-ruled nationalist China, nationalist Taiwan in the 70s and 80s. There had been a big divergence. Do you see things as moving together? Is there, for instance, in Taiwan, are Chinese or mainland Chinese movies or TV shows or websites, are these accessible to them? Is there, how culturally are they moving more together or moving farther apart?
I'm actually not sure about that. I would think, well, obviously, you know, it all depends on the young generation, the young people, and how they're, you know, being quote-unquote educated, you know, or brainwashed, you know, in the universities. Because, I mean, you do have a lot of young, you know, Taiwanese youth who basically they, you know, essentially see themselves as, you know, Taiwanese. They see themselves as liberal and independent from Chinese, you know, traditional Chinese society, traditional Chinese culture. You know, a lot of them, you know, they're all, you know, embracing all the, you know, American liberal, you know, ideals and you know, all the Hollywood crap, and you can just tell in the way they talk and everything. I mean, you know, it's kind of like how, you know, a lot of the, you know, American trash talk. Also, you know, another thing too, a lot of the young men in Taiwan, the young males, I should say, they're very, you know, effeminate, you know, kind of, you know, a bunch of, you know, queer little sissies. They drink, you know, they like that boba tea stuff, which, you know, boba tea is probably one of the most unhealthy drinks out there. And
what is boba tea? Bubble tea?
Yeah, it's basically, you know, like the squishy black pearls that they put in some kind of sweet milk tea.
Is that tapioca?
It's bigger than tapioca. It's more chewy. And I will advise all my listeners, if there's anything that they get out of me, is stay away from boba tea. No man should be drinking boba tea. Period.
Why?
Because it's so destroys, you know, men's testosterone levels and increases your estrogen levels. Oh yeah, and it's got all kinds of toxic chemicals and
really
artificial preserve. Oh yeah.
Does it suck the Y chromosomes right out of you?
Almost. I mean, just look at the youth in Hong Kong and Taiwan. Look at the males. Look at the, you know, all these, you know, xiaofenrou, you know, these, you know, little red, you know, little meat, you know, in Hong Kong and Taiwan, where liberal democracy has made an impression, and you know, just. You know, how effeminate. And then compare them to men in the Chinese mainland, where they're taught the values of patriotism, family, filial piety, duty to your nation, duty to your people. You know, just compare, you know, serve, you know, join the military, serve your nation. And then look at Taiwan and then Hong Kong. So, yeah, a lot of it has to do with, you know, their diet. And, yes, any kind of soy product, anything. Especially boba tea. Stay away from that.
I was under the impression, and I could be wrong because I just heard this from one place and I don't know if it's true or not, but the city with the highest per capita meat consumption is actually Hong Kong. I don't know if it's true or not.
Well, that's fine, but there's also a lot of other crap that they consume, like all the, you know, all different soy-based, you know, dishes and all that.
Of course, is one of the richest cities in the world.
Right.
Got it.
Yeah, meat. Yeah, any kind of meat used to be a luxury for only rich people could eat meat. You know, a lot of the peasants at the time could not eat meat. They could only eat vegetables or whatever, they, you know, or grains that they, you know, like rice and wheat. But meat used to be a luxury food.
Yeah. Okay, so I was asking about cultural convergence or divergence between the mainland and Taiwan. And, you know, a lot of the movement doesn't necessarily have to be coming in Taiwan. A lot of cultural movement has been coming in China massively. I mean, when I went to China in the 80s, everybody was walking around in Mao suits. Yeah, people didn't. They weren't on TV and they had no exposure to the West. And now you see Chinese students coming over to American universities, and they don't seem hardly any different from any other foreign students.
In fact, they're even more well-dressed and more professional than pretty much all other foreign students.
So it would seem that, at least in some ways, the cultural gap between China and Taiwan has narrowed mainly because of the massive cultural movement in China, but there's cultural movement going on in Taiwan as well. Like we talked about the gayness, things, certain bad traits from the West are moving there. How about Taiwan? I mean, how about Hong Kong? Because Hong Kong has been it's been part of the Republic, the People's Republic of China, since 1997. So we're going 27 years, and five or six years ago, you had that whole those riots where the young Antifa kids were setting old people on fire and attacking police stations.
These black thugs, not black, they were wearing black. These thugs in black, these young thugs that were wearing black.
Has that quieted down, or is there still a lot simmering below the surface in Hong Kong?
Well, I mean, the government has done a pretty good job, in my opinion, kind of basically pushing that out. And basically now they're very strict now, to where it's like, I don't even think you're allowed to wear a hoodie in public anymore, because of what happened. Whether there's a lot of that simmering below the surface, I don't know. But if there is, there will now be a proper government response to it. Not just like last time when the police actually showed incredible restraint. When it came to, if this happened in the, well, I shouldn't say that, because, when during the George Floyd riots, American police, stood down and knelt with the rioters. But what I'm saying is, if let's say these were, government sanctioned riots, federal government sanctioned riots in America. So, far left Bolshevik riots. But, let's say you're MAGA types. Oh, they would have been shot. They would have been shooting, or no? I'll just compare that to the yellow vests in France in 2019 when they were going out on the streets protesting because things were just getting outrageous in France. And see how the police responded. They shot them with rubber bullets. Shot them in the face.
And shot them in the face. Lots of people lost their eyes. That was a
blinded
thing. Yeah. You're raising a point about the United States, and we've had, on the one hand, you had all those Antifa and Black Lives Matter riots, especially in the Summer of Love, which were more or less, we could say, officially sanctioned. It's weird because these were riots to a large extent aimed against the President of the United States, but yet government sanctioned.
Federal government sanctioned.
We had this weird situation for 4 years, and we may be entering it again, but we had this weird situation for 4 years where the American electorate elected the wrong person to be president, and the establishment, which is the media, but it was also obviously the FBI and the Justice Department, big hunks of the bureaucracy, failed to recognize that election. They claimed it was illegitimate, that it was the Russians rigged the election with no evidence, zero evidence, and prevented Donald Trump from ruling, the judiciary as well, the judiciary. And so you had this weird situation, and you had these kind of officially sanctioned riots to an extent against Donald Trump. And you did have, during the Summer of Love, you had the White House surrounded at one point, and the president was taken by the Secret Service down into the basement because, as a precaution, in case the rioters breached the gates of the White House. I mean, that's how bad it was.
Didn't that church outside the White House burn down? I think it did.
It was set on fire. It didn't burn down, but yeah, that church across Lafayette Park, I forget the name of it. That it was set on fire, and there was a certain amount of damage. I've been in there. And then on the other hand, anybody, whether it was during the Trump presidency or after the Trump presidency, like during the Trump presidency, you had Charlottesville, which, to the extent that there was any back and forth fighting, it was really minor. You had like some scuffles, but the police in Charlottesville had, they pretty much engineered it so that the Antifa
calendar. It was a setup. It was a setup, just like January 6th. These were setups. They were, the people protesting both in Charlottesville at J6 were genuine, good, white American patriots who just, they loved their country, but they were being set up by the federal establishment, whether it's through their non-government, far left, Bolshevik rioters like Antifa, or whether it was through the federal police in Washington, D.C. And the federal agencies like the FBI and ATF and so forth.
Yeah. And then even more so, it's really even more striking than what happened on those particular days was the viciousness with which people who had participated were tracked down and arrested and abused. It's been...
And they're still to this day. In fact, the FBI director said, yeah, we don't know how long. It's okay. We know it can take as long as it needs to take to hunt down every single person involved in that. Even people who weren't there.
Yeah. So, for instance, Charlottesville, you had Jacob Goodwin and a couple other people. But Jacob Goodwin from Arkansas, he came up and, he was demonstrating. The police declared it an emergency and ordered the demonstrators to leave. So he followed their orders, and he walked with the other demonstrators. They walked to the parking lot in Charlottesville, and while they were walking, they were being accosted by Black Lives Matter people who had been armed by Antifa, who did not necessarily... They were not following police orders. They did not have cars in those parking lots. So they were violating police orders, following the demonstrators who were trying to follow police orders by going to their cars and leaving. And in this one particular case, you had a man in his 60s who was attacked by some black guy with a mag light, which is a big aluminum or metallic flashlight with four double C batteries and can be used as a club. It's used as a weapon by police. And he had a Confederate flag, which they were trying to steal pull the flag away from him. And while he's trying to pull back his flag, this Harris was his name, I think, struck him upside the head with a mag light, which, this can crack somebody's skull and give him a concussion. So he attacks this man with a mag light. And then there was about a 5 to 10 second scuffle where Jacob Goodwin and two others pull Deontay Harris off of the older man and throw him on the ground. And then while he's on the ground, he's kicked a couple of times. I don't think Jacob Goodwin ever kicked him. I think Jacob Goodwin stopped everybody else from kicking him. But he had been kicked a couple of times, got a bloody lip, and then scurried off. So,
yeah,
I mean, he wasn't...
If I'm not mistaken, this black dude that attacked the older white gentleman, he's being treated like the victim, and he's being, compensated with reparation, money and civil suits and all that.
Well, he set up a GoFundMe and got $150,000, which he used to buy a Mercedes.
He hates cops. You broke up there for a second. You said he bought a Mercedes?
Bought a Mercedes and did a rap video about how much he hated cops.
He's
a thug and he commits crimes and he hates cops.
$150,000. I bet you the vast majority of that money was given by liberal white women.
Yeah, of course it was. Whereas Jacob Goodwin, who, he had gone back to Arkansas, and then when he heard that he was being arraigned or there was a warrant from in Virginia, he went and turned himself in, and he languished. I think he may still be in prison. I think it was an 8-year sentence, and that happened about, six and a half years ago. I'm not sure if he's out yet or not, but he was in prison for years. I heard an interview with him while he was in prison, and he... in prison just has been reading a lot of books, and he's been studying and doing his best. He's he's not engaged in thuggery, that's for sure. But you know, that's one example. That's what they were doing. They were chasing down people, and the January 6th people, they've chased down at this point, just using all sorts of means, throwing all sorts of money and resources into finding out people who simply walked into doors that were being held open by police and just wandered around the Capitol for a few minutes. And these people are being persecuted. So, I mean, that's what's going on in the United States. I don't think there's anything equivalent to that in China.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
And these people are being persecuted. So, I mean, that's what's going on in the United States. I don't think there's anything equivalent to that in China.
No, not even close. In China, they're very clear about, you know, which laws you need to follow and what you can and can't do. In the United States, it's purely based on the emotions and feelings of the ruling political establishment.
Yeah. So, and you know, the thing is, one of the points that Andrew Anglin was making, say, 4 years ago while Trump was president is, so China might not be the most open society. It might not be the most tolerant of political dissent. But in China, if you support Xi Jinping, you're not going to get thrown in jail. And in America, if you support the president, Donald Trump, you could get thrown in jail. I mean, talk about weird. And what is it about who's really in America?
Yeah, this. I mean, America, we live under a tyranny here in the United States of America, no doubt. But it's the worst, it's the weirdest kind of tyranny that's ever existed in human history, because there's literally no logic to it. I mean, at least in previous, you know, tyrannies or you know, if you want to call them dictatorships, that's fine. There was some kind of logic to it as to why, you know, people would, you know, even in the Soviet Union, there was some kind of logic. There's no logic to this tyranny in the liberal West.
Well, I mean, there's no logic that people will talk about. There is a logic if you understand Jewish power.
Well, right. If you understand Jewish power, then you'll see the charade. But to your average normie, that, you know, in middle America, there's no logic. His head is spinning if he's even thinking about it, if he's not watching, you know, Sunday football.
Right, because nobody can talk about it. And so they talk about these things that don't make sense. They talk about liberals, and they talk about the New World Order or whatever, the military-industrial complex. There's all these things they talk about, but none of it really makes any sense. If you understand Jewish power and you understand what motivates Jews, which I say is paranoia, and why wouldn't they be paranoid? They've been indoctrinated themselves to think that if they don't lord over and dominate the societies that they live in, that for no reason, with no warning, they're going to be holocausted, and 6 million of them cleaning products and office furniture.
It's paranoia and schizophrenia, those two. Paranoia and schizophrenia are what classifies this Jewish power structure. Like, even, you know, the economist Michael Hudson, you know, very famous intellectual that used to, you know, also be, you know, in like the various think tanks like the Hudson Institute, you know, Michael Hudson, he said these people that run the American foreign policy are crazy every day, every single day. They always talk about with each other of their, you know, the Holocaust and their ancestors that were Holocaust, you know, supposed, which, you know, didn't happen. And every day it's always about they think the whole world just wants to throw them in the gas chambers. That's the Michael Hudson said this is how they think. These Jewish ruling elites. So, yeah, they're paranoid and they're schizoid. And you know what a self-fulfilling prophecy is, right?
Well, okay. We are at the end of our time, but I want to thank you for joining me today, Cato.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Slattery. Good to be back on here. Hopefully the weather will start, warming up a little bit, but not too hot, though. But, yeah. Hopefully next week it will not be as cold as this week and the last.
Okay, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.